If you have a Bible, and I pray that you do, go ahead and turn with me. I'm not going to turn to Luke today. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. This morning, what I want to talk about is not necessarily motherhood, though that certainly is important, but I want to talk about something even on a much larger scale, and that is building your life upon Christ, and being a godly woman and understanding what biblical godliness is, because I fear that so many times we misunderstand biblical womanhood or manhood, and we get them sort of mixed up. And but I want us to see this morning the importance of being a woman, and by extension, a man of God, and to live godly before our families and those around us. And so, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1 is where we'll dig in and where we'll bring the issues to bear here. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. Proverbs 14, 1. When you found that place, I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we honor the reading of God's holy and written word. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that on this day, on this Lord's day, we come and we can think through what it means encourage one another biblically, to be men and women of God who pursue godliness and holiness and righteousness, to pursue in such a way that that our lives are lived in a way that embraces not the cultural norms, but rather biblical truth. And so help us, we pray, to be biblical, godly men and women in our lives, in every area of our lives, in every day of our existence. May we live for your glory and honor, that Christ may be seen and proclaimed, that we may raise children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews and all those around us whom we have this sphere of influence upon, in a way that glorifies and honors Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. So while this isn't a Mother's Day sermon, I mean, mainly, I do think it does serve. Mother's Day does serve to provide us. I mean, it is the Lord's Day after all. And so we want to focus on the Lord. And so we want our focus to be on the Lord and on his honor and his praise and his glory. And so, but with that in mind, I do want us to think through what God has created us for and unto. What purpose has he created us to? And so, sisters, I do, in one sense, do talk to you. And brothers, I want to mention you as well here in just a few moments. But I want us to just pause for a moment. Ladies, I want you to pause for just a moment. And I want you to truly consider what it means to be a godly woman. Because our culture tells you so many things. Our culture tells you that you need to look a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way. You need to do certain things. You need to be a certain way. You need to not be this or do that or be that way. But the question becomes not what does the culture's changing model say to us? After all, they can't even define what a woman is. But what is it exactly that God says that it means to follow him and to pursue him, and to apply godly principles to your life? So we come to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. We see clearly what the scripture says. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman pulls it down with her hands. With her own hands, she pulls down her own house that has been built. So let's get to some preliminary issues here. I do want to give you some tools for living in this world as a godly woman and as a godly mother, as a godly wife, as a daughter of King Jesus, the daughter of the King. I want to give you some tools to do that. But before we do, let me just start off with this preliminary issue, because it is important. And that is, before we can even talk about giving you tools to be a godly woman, right? Because there's a lot of churches out there that will tell you, well, here's 5 steps, here's 10 steps, here's 9 steps, here's 6 steps, whatever. But the question becomes not about the steps or the tools. The question is the answering of the question. Have you answered the question? Have you answered the question correctly? Who is Jesus Christ? It's the question you have to first and foremost answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? It's a question Jesus asked his own apostles. He says, who do you say the Son of Man is? And Peter answered, of course. And so, ladies, I ask you the same question. Who do you say Jesus is? That's the primary question, not just for you, but for us here this morning, all of us. Who do we say Jesus is? Do you know him? Do you know him personally? Do you know him? Have you repented and turned from your sin and fled to Christ? Do you know that God is holy and that absolutely no sin will come into his presence? Do you know that he is absolutely righteous and his judgment is beyond impeccable? Do you know, as the psalmist says in Psalm 97:2, righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne this morning? Do you know that, ladies? Have you embraced that? Have you understood your sinfulness? Have you understood, like we all need to understand, that we have, as the Apostle Paul writes through the sacred pen in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? And do you know and understand that sin separates you from a relationship with God? That sin separates us from God, as Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Do you know that, ladies, this morning it is impossible for a man to save himself or a woman to save herself? No one can be made right with God by our own works, by our own good deeds, by our own morals or our own moral living. None of us, not a one of us, can make ourselves right with God this morning. Do you know that by the deeds, Romans 3:20 says, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight? But do you also know what God has done? God has sent forth his Son. The Father sent the Son. And we are told in 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the wrath-bearing, atoning sacrifice for us. That's what the word propitiation means. It means a sacrifice that bears the wrath of God and then turns away the wrath of God and redefines that relationship to be one of a good, right relationship. This is what the Lord Jesus has done. The living Savior then, as a result, invites any who would receive him to come and to repent, to turn to faith in Christ. As Jesus himself said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, Peter talking here in 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Therefore, you can have forgiveness of sin this morning. You don't have to carry the weight and the burden of your transgressions and your sins upon you. You can be made free through Christ. You can know the freedom that is only found in Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, you need to know, not just know this, but agree with God on everything he has said. That God has, in fact, as Romans 5:8 said to us, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Or again, as John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so, ladies, let me ask you this. If you're going to be a godly woman, have you repented and turned from your sin and fled to Christ in faith in his righteous works? Remembering the promise of Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe and will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you done that this morning? If not, I want to encourage you first and foremost to embrace Jesus Christ as your King and as your Lord, as your Savior and Redeemer through faith, turning away from your own self-righteousness and fleeing to Christ alone. Fleeing to Christ alone. Through faith in Christ, living then for King Jesus. And upon this, then, let me give you some tools. If this is who you are, if this is what you have believed, then let me give you some tools for living the godly life. How is it? Tools for building your house. How is it that you ladies are to build your house? And this is true whether your house consists of a house of one or a house of 20. And so I would say to you that you, as a daughter of the Lord, you need to build your house well. And so the Lord has given us throughout the book of Proverbs, certain proverbs to help us, and not just Proverbs, but in the New Testament as well, has given us ideas for how to build a house. And this is true. Some of this is true across the board, but some of this is true and applies only for women and only for ladies. And so let me give you some of these. First and foremost, it's more of a general rule, but I think it applies to everyone. And that's this: seek wisdom. If you're going to build your house, seek the wisdom. We're told in Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So ladies, fear the Lord, seek his wisdom. The foundation that you have in the Lord and acknowledging the Lord and fearing the Lord is your source of wisdom. Fear the Lord. Follow Christ. Do not be afraid to follow him. Acknowledge him. Fear the Lord. Serve him. Seek after him. Pray for wisdom. Seek discernment in every area of your life. Do not be like Paul says of some women that they were silly women whom the devil took captive. Do not be like that. Be rather discerning and understanding. Grow in your knowledge of the Lord. Seek after God's wisdom, the wisdom that Christ gives. Seek after that and be obedient to what the Lord has shown you and revealed to you in his word. Seek after the counsel of wise, mature Christian women and mentors. After all, in Titus chapter 2, in verses 3 through 5, we are told, older ladies are taught, older Christian women are taught to disciple younger Christian women, and younger Christian women are to listen to the older Christian women when they give you wise counsel. We should never seek to sort of just, well, they'll figure it out in the end and everything will be okay. Well, as we are reminded here in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1, the foolish pulls it down with their own hands. So it may not be okay. And so we should never treat discipleship as sort of or the seeking of wisdom sort of as an add-on or an addition to life. It's at the very core of who we are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But herein is where it gets a little bit different. We are all called. The principle itself is to be strong and to persevere in the face of life. We would say, well, you know, that sounds sort of like general, but let me apply it in a very specific way. In a way that I'm sure you know, and I don't want to preach on Proverbs 31, and I chose not to preach on Proverbs 31. But in Proverbs 31, there are some things that for you as women to grab hold of and to know. And part of that is to persevere in the Lord and in his strength. That is to be resilient in the duties that God has given you as wives, as sisters in Christ. If you're a mother, then a mother, aunts or whatever the case, grandmothers, whatever the case God has given to you, be for God's glory in all things. Apply wisdom and be strong and persevere. Be resilient in the face of all things. Fear the Lord, as Proverbs 31:30 says, and align yourself to the principles of God's word. Don't walk through life listening either to the culture, because it never is consistent, or to your own feelings, because it is wicked above all things. Listen to the word of God and apply God's standard to your life and your way of living. The way you do what you do, live for the glory of God. Be a woman who embraces what God has created you to do and to be. Do not be ashamed of that. Do not be ashamed that you love the things of God. You love to honor the Lord. You love to do what the Lord has placed you in this life to do. There's nothing wrong with that. Our culture has tried to consistently blur the line between the sexes. Anything you can do, I can do better. And so we have women who try to be men and men who try to be women, and it's gone crazy. But sisters, let me say this to you. Do not fear loving the Lord and embracing your femininity. Do not be ashamed to embrace the fact that you are a woman and that you have been created in God's image to be a woman. God did not make a mistake. God did not need my counsel. God did not need your counsel, but rather instead be a woman who is a woman of discretion and understanding and the seeking of wisdom and embracing of your womanhood. Love what God created you to be, a woman of God, a woman after his own heart, a woman who is kind and compassionate. Because here's the thing, right? Here's the thing that God has done in creating both man and woman in his own image. He gave men certain traits and abilities that we need when we need them. And he's given women certain traits and capabilities and abilities that we need when we need them. And to try to blur those lines is to try to go into the very throne room of God and say, we know better, God. We don't know better. There is something special and beautiful about the kindness and compassion of a godly woman, whether it is in her family or in her wherever she may find herself. There is something beautiful about her kindness and compassion. There is something that breeds strength among her children, if she has them, and dignity among those around her, trustworthiness and faithfulness in the midst of all of these things. Applying ourselves with dedication to the work and responsibility God has given you to live faithfully and fruitfully in your life. To live faithfully and fruitfully in your life, to fear the Lord, to understand the work of God, to understand the work of God in your life, to be a woman who loves the Lord and serves the Lord, who can be trusted and is faithful in every area of her life and her roles that God has given her. Be strong in your work ethic, remembering that the work that you do is a form of worship to the Lord. I would say to you, thirdly, that there is another tool, and that is to submit to godly authority. Whether you are respecting authority in the local church or in society in the broader context, we respect authority. We are to honor and submit to those who are in legitimate positions of authority and not abusing that authority. We are to be humble and teachable. Right? We are to be open to correction and guidance. Ladies, listen, God has created an order in which he has set you and I. And we need to understand what that order looks like and the structures of authority that God has placed for our good in them. Again, God has not called men or anyone else to abuse those positions of authority, but neither has he sought to call you to seek to blur those lines of authority either. Here's a fourth tool I think that's important for us. Jesus actually mentions this in Matthew chapter 6:33, which is to seek your true fulfillment in Christ. Be okay with your inner beauty. Focus on being a woman who is Christ-like in your character, who is a woman who loves Christ, who is not obsessed with your external appearances or worldly standards. Like, it's okay to be a woman, but there are certain things that we need to be careful of. We need to be careful of. Focusing on our outer beauty is fine as long as it's not excessive, but it's far more important to focus on our inner beauty. Be a woman who shines from the inside out for the glory of God. Live for his purposes. Do not live for fleeting pleasure or recognition. That's what I fear. So much of our culture is calling you to do this or to do that and to not focus on your heart, which is, or focus on Christ and that he is the one that you should be focused on. Seeking your true fulfillment in Christ, ladies, is of utmost importance for you. Find your worth, your value, and fulfillment in Christ. I know most of you are married or I think are soon to be married or maybe not married at all. But anyways, but most of you are. But I would say this to you, whether you're married or you're not married. Do not find your value and your worth in what someone else can give you. That is not what God created you to do. He has called you to find your value and worth in Christ. Now, yes, should you value and treasure your calling as a wife or a mother or as a sister in Christ or as a whatever place you may find yourself? Absolutely. But to find your value and worth in Christ. This is, I would say, one of the main reasons why so many ladies, when their kids grow up, they stand around, they look around like, now what? Now what? I don't know. I don't know the guy I'm married to. I've been married to him for 30 years, but I don't know him. Now what? Well, Let me say this to you, ladies. Find your value in Christ. Treasure the relationships God has placed in your marriage and find your value in Him, and you won't be asking that question. You'll be asking, how do I glorify God in this next level of my life? How do I honor Him in the lives of my children, grandchildren, nephews, nieces, people in general? How do I do that? Find your fulfillment in Christ. You should enjoy your husband. You should enjoy your wife, brothers, but never to the point of making them and setting them in the place of Jesus. Do not set your husband in the place of Jesus. Do not set your wife in the place of Jesus. What do you say? Well, what do you mean, Pastor? What do you mean by setting my wife or my husband in the place of Jesus? I mean, Jesus must be the only thing that you will refuse to let go of. Remember Job? God left Job with his wife. And even his wife had to be rebuked by Job. He says, you speak like one of the foolish women. And yet it is said that Job, even though he was covered from head to toe, he scraped his body with the pot shards, and it says that he worshiped the Lord. Is that where you are? Do not set your wife or your husband or your kids in the place of Jesus. Enjoy them, rejoice in them, love them, serve them, do good to them, but don't place them in the stead of Jesus. Be a woman who is worthy of respect. Fifthly, be a woman who's worthy of respect. You say, well, what do you mean? Shouldn't all people be honored? Sure, absolutely. In the broadest sense, absolutely. I mean, even if you meet somebody in the store that's not nice, or in the parking lot and yells and screams and whatever at you, I mean, yes, you should be nice to them in the generalist of senses, but that's not how I'm using this. What I mean is, when someone looks at your life, what can they say about you? Will they say, hey, that lady right there, she is worthy of emulation. She's worthy for you and I to walk like that, to live like that, to pursue Christ like that. Do you set an example for the Lord? Do you show respect and kindness, showing hospitality, but also building healthy relationships and cultivating positive and supportive relationships with your friends and family members, even your own colleagues? Do you speak with grace? Do you uplift and offer constructive feedback? Or do you just do what Proverbs says the foolish woman does? You just tear your own house down with your hands. It's a good question, isn't it? Pursue holiness. Sixthly, I would say to you, sisters, pursue holiness. Fight your sin. Put your sin to death. Fight against sin in your life. Be accountable to God and His Word. Continuously identify the sin that raises its ugly head. And for each of us, if we're honest, it's going to be different. Some may struggle with gossip. Some may struggle with slander. Some may struggle with envy or greed or whatever the case may be. We all are sinners, so our struggle may be different, but our command is no different. Wherever we struggle, believer, you are called to put your sin to death. Not somebody else's sin, let me say that quickly. Your sin, not somebody else's. Right? You don't go around killing their sin. You kill your own sin. And grow in Christ. Be a woman of self-control and discipline in your life by pursuing holiness. Develop self-discipline and resist the temptation to make unwise choices. Choose to be the first and not the second woman of our verse. The wise woman who builds her house, not the foolish woman who with her own hands tears it down. Choose to be the first and not the second. Self-control and discipline is a dying commodity in our culture. But among Christian women, it must be of utmost value and worth. We must honor self-control and discipline. Ladies, you are called to do that well. Trust in the Lord. I would say, seventhly, trust in the Lord. Completely rely upon the Lord. Find your peace in Christ. In every circumstance, know that the Lord is in control. Know that He is absolutely in control of everything. Seek His peace. Seek His grace. Overcome your own anxiety by combating worry and anxiety by relying on God's faithfulness. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 tells us this very clearly, doesn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Ladies, as women who love Christ, trust in the Lord. Do not trust your own ways. Eighthly, and the final two I will mention here, and that is this, live by God's grace. Live by God's grace. You should be grateful for His grace that has bought you and sought you out and bought you. You should recognize and appreciate this undeserved grace. Yes, I agree. All brothers should as well. But sisters, in this morning, in this moment, let me just apply this to you. Recognize and appreciate His undeserved grace and forgiveness. Show grace and compassion to others, just as God has shown grace to you. Live freely in the joy of the Lord and the freedom that comes only through grace in Christ. We should rejoice in this. We should honor the Lord in all of this. But let me say something very quickly as well. So those are some tools, but let me address the second part of this verse. And that is this: foolishness has consequences. Foolishness has consequences. We live in a day and an age when the foolish seems to be at an astronomical level. But foolishness has its consequences. You say, well, how do we live? What kind of woman is this woman? Well, the good thing is that as you survey the book of Proverbs, you'll find that there are some great examples of foolishness and its consequences. Let me mention just five here. The first way that a woman can be foolish is by living unfaithfully. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 7, we come across the woman who cares nothing for her family. She cares nothing for herself. She cares nothing about others or others' family. She only lives for her pleasures and her senses, and she tears her home down destructively. She gives in to every indulgence of life. She personifies what it looks like to be a seductive and foolish woman, who then leads others astray from their families and from the path of God. She is described in Proverbs 5 through 7 as being a manipulative, cunning, and ultimately destructive person. And this is why Proverbs 5, 3 through 6 says, "For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword, and her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol." Let me give you a second warning here about foolishness or living, or the foolishness has its consequences. If you want to tear your house down, live as a quarrelsome and contentious person. The Bible even says it's better to live on a corner of a roof than in the home with a contentious woman. I know that's not a cuddly, fuzzy moment here on a Mother's Day for you, but let me just say, do not live as a quarrelsome and contentious woman. Don't be constantly argumentative, nagging, creating strife with the household. Don't allow your words to be compared with water that's dripping, 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 constantly causing annoyance and eroding the peace within your own home. Proverbs 21:9 is better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Now, I'm not saying that your husbands don't give you, your husbands or your kids may give you plenty of reasons to be aggravated and quarrelsome and contentious. But brothers and sisters specifically, let me say this to you. Be a woman of wisdom when dealing with those things, not quarrelsome and contentious when dealing with those things. Thirdly, let me just be honest with you. If you want to tear down your house, live to gossip and slander. Live to gossip and slander. Proverbs continuously condemns gossip. It continuously condemns slander. The Bible even says that compares gossip and slander to witchcraft. Don't be like that. Don't damage the cause for which God has placed you in your home simply to be unwise and engage in behavior that is depicted as untrustworthy and destructive in nature and in your relationships. Whoever goes about, Proverbs 11:13 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in the spirit keeps a thing covered. Fourthly, if the danger of being a foolish woman is found in Proverbs 14:1, she tears her house down. She rips it down with her own hands. She doesn't care. She gets so angry. Have you seen people, and this is a good example, have you seen people that get so mad that they don't care, they will take whatever's around them and they will absolutely, literally just tear it apart. Favorite dishes, they don't care, throw it against the wall. Favorite, whatever, they will rip it up and they will tear it up and they will just destroy it. And afterwards they're like, oh man, I wish I hadn't done that. Well, that's what it's talking about here. Don't be a foolish person who rips up, tears up, who destroys because they're angry. Don't tear down your own house by engaging in the activities that bring shame upon your family and instability to your family. Fifthly, let me say this: if you're going to be a foolish woman, then you're going to be a woman who lacks discretion. Proverbs values discretion over and over again, and good judgment over and over again. But brothers and sisters, let me say this: if you are a woman and you lack discretion, you are going to cause great harm through your impulsive actions and your careless words. Be careful. Be careful. Now, let me say something to us brothers, and this is meant to us, whether we're married or not. How can we as men encourage the women of this congregation and those in our lives to be and pursue godliness and to help them and to encourage them and lovingly come alongside of them and be a helper to them? Well, let me give you a couple of examples, I think, from the scriptures. First, we are told in Ephesians 5:25 through 27 that husbands, we are to encourage our wives, right? We are to encourage our wives. We are called to love our wives just like Christ loved the church. We're to demonstrate sacrificial love. We are to lead our home. And we are to be committed to that home's spiritual growth and as well as our wives' spiritual growth. We are to live out our faith with integrity and be men who model what it looks like to follow Jesus so that our wives will follow along behind us or beside us, maybe is the better idea. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Brothers, are you loving your wives that way? Brothers, men, are you loving, if you're not married, certainly you're not going to love a sister like this, who's not, you're not married to, but brothers, are you being sacrificial in the way you love the sisters by encouraging them to follow Christ? Brothers, pray with and for her. Husbands, pray with your wife. Pray with your wife regularly. Pray with her and pray for her regularly. But in general, we as brothers in Christ, we can encourage our sisters in their praying by being men of prayer and by encouraging them as well to be women of prayer. We are to follow Christ. Brother Trent preached a couple weeks ago, on the passage that came to mind in 1 Peter 3:7. It is directed at husbands, but it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And listen, I understand that some of what I'm saying, or much of what I'm saying, is probably going to be seen, would be seen as completely misogynistic. But that's because our culture has jettisoned biblical understanding of manhood and womanhood. We need to encourage our sisters to study the scripture for themselves. They need to be in the word. They need to be studying. They need to know the word. They need to be encouraged by reading the word, right? That's how they're going to grow, brothers. We need to encourage them to be in the word, to stay in the word, and to apply the word to their lives. And let me say this, and I have to, and, and, And this, I know this cuts both ways, but I, and so often in my marriage counseling, this applies to men more so than women. So let me just say this to you, brothers. It's okay to tell your wife or a sister in Christ, good job. They need to hear that. It's okay to say, you know what, I just am thankful for how you do X, Y, and Z. I praise God that He placed you in this in my life and so that we can walk together. It's okay to do that. Matter of fact, I think you should be doing that, brothers, if you're married. If you're not, then certainly you shouldn't be saying things like that, but you should be encouraging your sisters in Christ by saying to them things like, you know, hey, sis, I've watched you and your life, and I just want to thank you for being an example of godliness. It's okay to say that. It's good to say that as well. Offer good, encouraging words. And we should support her spiritual gifts and service. Now, obviously, there are certain positions and roles that women are not allowed, according to Scripture, to hold to. Being a pastor is one. Being a deacon is another. But there are gifted roles and services that they are most certainly permitted to hold to. They should be teaching younger women. They should be following after the example of the New Testament church and using their gifts for the good of the local church as well as the community around them, supporting and celebrating their contributions. One example that comes to mind is a woman by the name of Tabitha or Dorcas in the New Testament. It is said that when she died, that all the ladies called for Peter and they said, look at everything she's done for the poor and the needy among us and around us. And they cried and they asked Peter to do something. And the Lord restored Tabitha Dorcas to life. Be like that. Be indispensable, sisters, in whatever station God has placed you in this life. Motherhood is important. But being a woman of God is important. It is essential. Being a woman after God's own heart is absolutely essential in every area of life. And brothers, we must praise and we must enjoy our sisters and their contribution that they make to the kingdom. They're not hidden away someplace where they're seen but not heard. We enjoy what God has done in their work and in their lives, and we rejoice in that. And we sing their praises when it's appropriate to do so. So, sisters, let me say this to you. Are you pursuing Christ this morning? Are you genuinely pursuing Christ and building your house? Again, whether it's a house of one or a house of a lot more than that. Are you following Christ and His example? Are you loving Christ and His example? Are you seeking to live out the gospel and adorn the gospel in your life, in every area of your life? Are you doing that? Are you following Christ's example and what God created you to do? Are you doing that? I pray so. And this morning, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if in the first section that I discussed, the door is always open for you to embrace Christ by faith. And I would say to you, if you have not embraced Christ by faith, ladies, that's the first place you're going to have to start. You need to embrace Christ by faith, loving Christ, serving Christ, honoring Christ in all things. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for our time. We ask now Your blessings would rest upon our sisters in Christ and as they embrace biblical womanhood. As they embrace what it means to be a biblically feminine woman. May we encourage this. May we challenge them to do this. May we rejoice when brothers and sisters both are fulfilling the roles You have created us for. Neither one lesser than, equal, both of us equal to one another, the same as in Your eye, and yet created for different distinctions and roles. May we fulfill those roles and those distinctions for Your glory's sake, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the sweet by and by, We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. Oh, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall song.